two. The other out of timeouts.
Down by two. 1:43 left.
Down two. Gets a shot off.
Down by two.
Ooey kablooey, it's another episode of Down by Two-ey. What's going on? Man, I just got to think of different things to say off the top, and that's just what I'm thinking. It's sure by Jishalish, and to my right, as always, the homeboy, Jesse McKay, a.k.a. Birdman. Abreh, abreh, abreh.
Hello.
How you doing? Hello. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, boy.
Hello, boy.
I'm doing well, little boy.
Nice, man. Yo, it was good to see you this weekend, man.
Yeah,
we got to hang out. We got to hang out. You know, it's sometimes we don't get the chance to do that. You know, me being in London, you being in the sex. But we got the chance to hang out and go cover the final home game for the Toronto Argonauts, which was great. You know, this just all around amazing experience. All the access that we get to be able to cover those games is fucking awesome, which was awesome. You know, and the home regular season stretch undefeated as well, undefeated at home,
yeah,
which is crazy, as they took care of the Ottawa Red Blacks 40-27 for like the millionth time this year. But man, yeah, shout out to our boys over at, oh, here we go, starting the plugs, Cryer Media. Visit cryer.co for all things DB2 and sports related content. Hey man, it wouldn't be possible without those guys. And special shout out to our boy, Criff. I was gonna say Crip. Like the Crip walk.
He could probably do a mean Crip walk.
The Griff walk.
Yeah.
He's just doing it up and down the center field, BMO field. Shout out to our boy Griff from YWC Football Talk for hooking us up with that all season long and showing us the ropes around BMO and doing all the coverage with the Argos as well. A lot of cool stuff coming up. I know I say that quite often. I mean, we're waiting for the end of the month to pick up our
we've got a bit of a release schedule. So you can't just dump everything all at once, you know?
Well, we've chatted about the Grey Cup, right? We've chatted about heading down to the Grey Cup. So stay tuned for more information on that. We're gonna have all that coverage. But we got some major I just burped, had some curry there.
Yummy. Curry and wine.
Curry and wine, right? We got some incredibly big announcements that are coming up, and we've been sitting on these pretty puppies for quite some time.
Keeping
them warm for you. We've been sitting on these eggs, and they're about to hatch. they're also just getting uncomfortable to sit on.
I'm sorry.
But we got a couple big things to announce. A lot of great stuff over the next few months, coming weeks, what have you. But the first of which we've been alluding to over the last few episodes, is that we are going to be moving away from a lot of our line shopping preaching that we've done over the years when it comes to BetStamp and being able to preach the power of line shopping and finding the best odds across the different sports books. But it's been our goal to team up with one specific sports book. We've wanted to have one that is affiliated with our show, that we are able to pump those odds at all times and be able to really promote this book. And it's crazy because when I first started sports betting, it's this one book that I remember opening my very first account with. Now I have them for all of these different apps, and you know, you got to do that if you're line shopping, but we are now affiliated with one specific sports book that is now sponsoring our show Down by Two. We hope that our listeners and our viewers are able to follow along with our bets as well. Throw down a couple wagers as well with us. And without further ado, the Down by Two podcast is now sponsored by the OGs.
The OGs.
The OGs. Bodog, baby. Ayo. Boop, 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 boop. Let's go. Yeah. Cheers, buddy. Bust open.
Cheers. I only have some water, but you know,
my finest leftover wedding wine.
That's the best kind of wine. Hey, this was my first sports book too. And you convinced me, you said, bro, just throw down a couple bucks. I think it was on the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Three Super Bowls ago now. Jeez. Time flies, man. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, sports betting wasn't legal yet in Canada. Bodog was the spot. You know,
it was the spot. It is the spot. It still is.
Yeah.
It's the grandfather, the granddaddy of all these sports books.
They've been doing it. They've been
doing it. And bodog.eu is, you know, I think that's where they're able to, because they're stationed out of the EU as well. So they've been around in Canada and legal in Canada for quite some time. So, it's just full circle, man. I mean, there's a lot of amazing apps that are available out there. We've preached all these different apps and pumped them all up. And, you know, BetStamp, will always be using BetStamp to be able to place our odds and what have you, and show us, you know, just basically keep track of our tickets. And it's, making sure that we're held accountable for our picks as well. But Bodog is our resident sports book now for the pod. And we got a big old special sign-up bonus for you guys, for the viewers and the listeners. Anyone who wants to create a Bodog account, just scan that QR code right there. The link is also in the comments as well. It's on our social profiles. Anywhere you look, you'll be able to find the link to sign up. And you click that link, and it will automatically give you a 100% sign-up bonus. That's 100% for every dollar that you put down. Can you explain to us, Jesse, what a 100% sign-up bonus is? Say, for instance, you're listening to this show and you want to get into sports gambling, you want to get into sports betting. Explain to people what a 100% sign-up bonus is.
So you put money in and they match it with the exact same amount that you put in. So for example, you throw $100 in there, they give you $100 of their money. And look at that. You got $200. And you can play around with that. Pretty freaking sweet.
Look at that. Exactly. So, you know, it's that easy. If you scan that, you throw in $20 and they'll match that 100%. And then you'll have $40 in your account. And
yeah, $20, $50, $100. Whatever you want, man.
Go place a bet that's like a pretty, we're not gonna drop the L word, we're not gonna say a lock, but like, I don't know, if you're feeling good about the Phillies, as you probably should, because they are just destroying the playoffs right now. So I mean, you want to place a future on them to win it all this year. That would probably be a pretty smart bet.
Pretty good one.
I don't know. I mean, like, you could just go do that. You could just go pick the Florida Panthers to beat the Leafs as they are currently right now. I mean, like, it's just go put that money down and then you lock it in. You're going to win a couple more bucks and then you play around with it a little bit more sparingly. You know, that is an option, right? That is an option. We're going to obviously give you our picks. You can do the complete opposite. It's up to you. But that sign-up bonus is a gift to us. I've shared it with a couple of my friends already, a couple of the homies, and it's as easy as that. The one different thing as well about Bodog and a lot of these other accounts that are out there is that they get you to confirm your ID. A lot of the apps that are out there, mind you, get you to confirm your ID, take a picture of your driver's license, what have you, and then you have to wait for them to confirm. And we have run into this problem as well. I'm not going to name whatever books.
It's been brutal.
There's been a few that have been waiting for,
especially if you don't have a driver's license. It's tough.
Exactly. There's So I mean, the health card or passport, what have you. Bodog does not require that. You need your phone number, you need your email, name, number, link it up with your credit debit, your credit card, what have you. Put spending caps on it, do what you got to do. But it is a 100% sign up bonus. So again, scan that QR code, click the link in the bio or in the comments there, captions, what have you. We'll make sure the link is accessible everywhere. You click it, you click the sign up bonus. Now, I believe they also give you 50 free spins for like some Wheel of Fortune bullshit on the casino. So, I mean, like, hey, that's along with the sports bonus. Just select the sports bonus and you're good. Our boys over at Bodog really hooked us up the damn boys, the whole squad. So we will be pumping Bodog from here on out on the show. And that may change, because apparently there's affiliation with another sports book. It rhymes with Drake. He also uses it a lot. The Stake sports book as well has been rumored also to be a part of the show. But for now, we are just sticking with Bodog. So that's a little tidbit for you maybe later. But Bodog is what we're sticking with. click that link, scan the QR code, 100% sign up bonus on your first deposit. That is your first deposit. It's not every deposit. It's your sign up bonus.
Imagine. So, that'd be sick.
Yeah, just imagine. And also, the limit for that is $400. So, I mean, yeah. Like, for like, sure, you can start off by throwing in 20, 40, 100, what have you, but the limit is 400. So, again, you throw in 400, you're maxing it out to 800 bucks.
And I believe the minimum is 20. So, you can't get away with putting 10 in there. That's
right.
It's a little too little.
Yes, just do the minimum that you just got.
Do
there,
20 okay? bucks.
The Bodog. Bodog is now added into the rotation of our sponsor reads. But we can't forget about our boys over at Yup Beer as well. Oop, that's not even Yup. That's Indestructible. Let's just stick with Indestructible. Visit Indestructible online, MFG, and use promo code DOWNBY2 for 15% off your next order. And buy Yup Beer. Visit yupbeer.com to find a location near you. Now available in beer stores and grocery stores across Ontario. That's it. Lots of exciting news. Got a big old bomb that we're going to drop next week as well. But we're going to jump right into this, though. Enough talking about us. We're going to bring on Sportsnet, Justin Cuthbert. Catch him on the Fan 590. And I was just watching him on the tube right before the Leafs game started over here on the pregame show as well. And that's exactly what we're doing in this episode. Is we sat down with Justin and we're talking all Leafs. We're talking, you know, postseason, you know, some of the moves that they made in the offseason as well, given their offseason grade. Just the early sort of outlook on the season, how they have kind of fared within the first handful of games, and what's to expect later on down the line as the season progresses, and what direction we think the Leafs are going to be headed in. Jesse, any thoughts on that? I mean, just chatting with him, you know, chatting with him here and then watching his pregame as well, hitting a lot of the same points that we were talking about on our show as well.
Yeah. He's pretty smart. He knows his stuff, and you know, happy to see him get a spot on Sportsnet. And it's funny just how he got there. Just reminds me so much of us. It's just, You gotta just stick with it, try different things, and you never know where you're gonna end up, right? And
stay on the steady path.
Yeah, because he wanted to get into sports writing and stuff, and then, you know, you get kind of pushed out of your comfort zone. I can attest to that, you know, being
sure
the producer originally, and now here we are, you know,
and everything else, and creating content and all this.
It's just funny
stuff,
how that
man.
Happens, but yeah, super stoked for him. I hope that show does well, and
The pregame, check it out on Sportsnet as well. You know, it's the same sort of thing with us, like starting this podcast and then, you know, wanting to start the podcast, but then getting pushed in a different direction to start writing articles and step out of my comfort zone as well for that as well.
That's so, right.
You know, it's just, it doesn't matter which path you take. It's just, you end up there one way or another. So great to chat with him. A lot of Leafs talk with this. So let's just jump right into it. It's Justin Cuthbert from Sportsnet and the Fan 590. Enjoy. All righty, we're here with Justin Cuthbert from Sportsnet Fan 590. Justin, my man, thank you so much for jumping on here and chatting a little bit of Leafs with us. How was the show? How was everything? How was your summer? I mean, I know that you've been out traveling and what have you. How's everything been?
Yeah, a bit of a whirlwind. Of course, the summer you try to get away, right? But we started a new show, basically, it just as we were coming back from summer vacation, if you want to call it that. Just sure. A bit of a summer change here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So yeah, doing the Fan pregame now, was doing the Fan morning show last year. So bit different, 12 hours later, start at 6, just a different PM instead of AM. So yeah, things are a bit different and we're just getting started. But yeah, we're pretty excited about it. Teeing up sports rather than, you know, trying to unpack it early in the morning, which is definitely a challenge without loads and loads of coffee.
Do you? Yeah, I was going to say, like, what is the dynamic? Obviously, it's the time of day, but do you find it easier to be able to belt out some of this stuff right before, you know, the 7 o'clock start hitting, or, you know, as opposed to unpacking it in the morning?
It is a lot different. It's kind of like marathon versus sprint. And in the morning, it is a marathon in that, okay, you're on 3 hours and you're just kind of like exhausting every thought you might have based on the previous night, because you got a lot of time to fill. And it's a little bit different now. You're like trying to, you know, pick the right spots because you're getting fans set up for the night ahead and trying to be a little bit different than the shows that were on before you. And I guess in the morning there were no shows before you. So you kind of the pick of the litter. You could do whatever you needed to do. And you kind of had to because you were on for, you know, a pretty long time. 3 hours of sports talk every day is a bit of a challenge, and that is a lot, and you got to fill that time. So it is completely different, new cool challenge though. Excited to be doing it, and yeah, it's getting used to though.
I mean, as listeners of The Fan as well, we've been following it for quite some time. And tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up with that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a. I don't think anyone charts it out exactly how it's going to go anymore because industry changes constantly. So, I mean, I just got in this industry because I wanted to be a beat writer. I wanted to be attached to a team and just tell that story and travel and do those things where you get to see different rinks and so on and so forth. But those opportunities are pretty limited, right? So immediately you're kind of slapped around and I guess you get the impression that you have to be more than just a writer. So you try to do everything and you try to get to a spot where you can do everything. And fortunately, I had a couple spots where I was told I had to do a little bit more than I probably wanted to do at that time in just terms of what I was comfortable with. And you start doing those things, you start talking to a mic long enough and you build some relationships around the industry and you get some opportunities. I'm fortunate to have this one clearly. And we're working with a couple people that I worked with at previous stops. So those things sort of add up for you.
Love tuning in. Love catching you as well, man. It's always great to check in on your insights as well, and great to have you on the show here. We want to dive right into it. Keep this kind of Leaf centric here, you know, the season is now underway. But let's dial it back a little bit. We've talked a lot about it on the off season. Leafs off season. What are your thoughts? What are your grades? Did you like some of the moves that they made and the overall makeup of this team now that Trelle Living is at the helm?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think the thing for me here in this first couple of weeks is a proof of concept, right? Because it is different. This team is trying to be different. This team under the previous regime, of course, Kyle Dubas's ideas and process was, hey, let's just support four players and see where it gets us. And by support, it was, let's not have what happened in Edmonton all those years where Connor McDavid go on the ice and score, and then the Oilers' fourth line would be scored against. I think that's what Kyle Dubas was trying to do, break even all the time, except when you have your big four on the ice, and take advantage of the mismatches that you're paying to have on the ice by giving those guys so much money. So it was kind of, I don't want to say it was like reductive or whatever, backwards or wrong or whatever. I think it did have some merit trying to be defensively responsible for 70% of the game and then let your big guys go and try to create the advantages for you. But I don't think that's how Trelle Living looks at things. I think he wants to have more impact. And I think he tries and has attempted to do that with the additions of Tyler Bertuzzi, Max Domi, and I guess to a certain extent, Ryan Reeves. It's trying to be different. It's trying to be impactful in other ways than, hey, just it's addition and subtraction. You're either putting up goals or you're preventing goals. I think he sees the game as less binary than that. And for that reason, it's a different proof of concept and something that we're going to have to get used to as people who are watching the Leafs. But I do think, in my general take coming into this year, is that there's more to like. If that makes sense. I mean, Toronto has long been a city that appreciates, you know, offensively focused hockey, sure, but also lunch pail, hits, fights, all that stuff. And this team is not about, hey, can we just like disappear? It's, hey, can we be front and center? And can we give you a little bit more than what you're accustomed to? So a team that can score, a team that can be involved in fights and scrums and be a little bit of a pest, is a different wrinkle. And for that reason, I think this team is ultimately going to be appreciated a little bit more than it has in the last few seasons.
You're absolutely right. They have added a whole lot of grit as well going into this season. And it's, I mean, we've seen a bit of it starting off this year, just a small sample size. But Jesse, you were actually speaking to this a bit earlier as well within the first few weeks.
Yeah, I was wondering, like just when I was watching the first few games, you kind of notice like maybe some old habits creeping back in, like the slow start against Montreal, against Chicago. Is that a concern that you see, like I feel like that's kind of like an old habit from years past, and especially like the playoffs and stuff like that. Is that a trend you see continuing, or do you think that's just like that's just the beginning of the season? They're just kind of working it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's part of it is that. I think all teams are working it out at this time. That's actually been a trend under Keefe, is that they've just been terrible to start seasons. And if it weren't for back-to-back hat tricks for Austin Matthews, and I'm not going to say that Austin Matthews has had like a poor start by any means. Clearly, he has not. But it's not like he's been, you know, it's not like he's earned those goals in ways that were, you know, unimaginable, right? Like,
sure, Elander,
I think, has had a more impressive offensive start than Austin Matthews, because the goals he's scored and the moments he's had have been like, wow, that was impressive. That was built out of nothing. Matthews had a few tap-ins and resulted in some goals, and that's been really great. But it's also covered up about, you know, some real warts, some real issues early on. I mean, they've been scored on a ton in these first three games. And I think maybe the biggest difference between this year and last year is that they just have outscored their deficiencies early. I mean, under Sheldon Keefe, they've had brutal starts. Whenever he's had to like change and be ready for something, there's been an issue. And that's the playoffs included. So he almost got fired at the start of last year. At least that's how it seemed with their brutal start. So it seems to be a trend, but it also seems to be a trend league-wide. Like, teams are not at their best to start the season. And when you are a team that is going to build those advantages and they just haven't been implemented yet, well, then you might look a little bit more average. But thankfully for the Leafs, they've had some goal scoring that maybe wasn't completely earned, if you want to look expected goals, whatever. It doesn't add up to two hat tricks for Austin Matthews. That's all I'm saying. He's been brilliant. I should stop talking about that. But they haven't been as dominant as it may look just in terms of the totals in the stat sheet. And because they've had a little bit of that, I don't want to call it a PDO bender, but just shooting percentages maybe inflated just a little bit, that's covered up from some of the bad. And for that reason, maybe, you know, a typically uneven start hasn't been as painful as maybe it could have been.
I mean, you can value those goals differently because they definitely came at pivotal times as well. I mean, you can't count them as momentum boosters, but I absolutely agree with you. Some of them, you know, I mean, it's a hat trick still, no discredit to that. But you touched on, you know, the amount of goals that we're letting up as well. Are we talking D or are we talking goaltending situation? Because I mean, that's also a second part to it, too. Are you happy with our goaltending duo between Samsonov and Wolf?
You know, you're talking both for sure in terms of deficiencies defensively. I think they're probably a left shot top four defender short from being truly, truly competitive when it matters the most. I mean, they might be more than that. I mean, they're going to be looking for a third line center for sure. But clearly that defense is missing a part. But with the goaltending, you might be missing the most important part, which is a goaltender, a starting goaltender that you for sure and feel confident that you can rely on in big spots. I mean, Ilya Samsonov, well, when's the last time he looked really good? It wasn't to start this season. It wasn't in the preseason. It wasn't the last we saw of him in the playoffs. I guess he was pretty good in that Tampa series. If you beat out Andrei Vasilevsky, I guess you get credit for that. But Ilya Samsonov, it just feel like we need to be reminded that he can play at a really high level. And that reminder hasn't come to start this season yet. I don't know if Joe Woll is going to bang that door down himself. He may have to walk through it because Ilya Samsonov's not ready for prime time. But you know, I don't really have issues with the backup goaltender, but I'm not saying, damn, he's got to be in. Like, it's him.
Right.
Like, he's the guy, right? So I think they might be a starter short, or they might be like that top 15 goaltender short. Maybe their guy is between 15 and 20, and 15 and 20 probably won't get it done. I mean, an Aiden Hill can show up, and he's not 15-20, but in the moment he's top 10, and he was for the Golden Knights.
That's right.
When it mattered the most. So they need that goaltending. Is Samsonov going to provide it? He has before. He hasn't sometimes, and to start the season he hasn't been very good. So I don't know if it's the first thing on the shopping list, but if he can't prove to be that goaltender over the balance of the regular season here, I got to consider it.
That was exactly the example I was going to use. And like, do you think the Leafs would be poised? It might not be at the top of the shopping list, but do you think they'd be poised at the trade deadline, much like Vegas pulled in Aiden Hill at that deadline, if they are there and understand that they're missing a piece as a goaltender?
And they still have Martin Jones around too, right? They were fortunate not to lose him through the waiver process.
Yeah. He didn't get claimed.
But you know, it'll all sort itself out, right? Like, if these guys prove to you and tell you, they're going to tell you if they're not ready, right? And maybe it just doesn't work out in the moment, but if Ilya Samsonov holds a 9-15 over the course of the regular season, well, you got to at least be like, okay, this has been our guy, and we can go down with it because he's played good enough. And maybe you make your decision on his future because you didn't see it when it matters the most. And that's the thing with Samsonov, is like the moment has been too big at times. I guess it wasn't when it was really, really, really bright in the playoffs because he did win that series for the Leafs. But at the start of last year, when he was like admitting to being nervous playing his old team, like you kind of have to have a cold-blooded killer back there. Mm-hmm. And Aiden Hill transformed in that, or maybe has always been that, but he was cold-blooded. It didn't seem to faze him whatsoever. And if you're fazed at all as a goaltender, especially regular season game, like maybe we can worry about that. But
yeah,
again, I think that time will come. But in terms of like just adding depth, adding a fourth goaltender sooner than later, probably not going to happen. I think they're going to have to tell you that they're not ready.
One of the things we were chatting about just before we jumped on here is, I guess, just Keefe's overall game plan and seeing some of our pieces not get as much puck time. I mean, you look at Knies and you even look at Domi a bit here, too. It seems like Keefe is definitely sticking more with his bigger guns as opposed to letting some of you know, these younger pieces and like Domi, new acquisition as well. Do you see that just being... do you see that being a trend at all? Because, I mean, I definitely want to see these guys have more ice time.
It sounds harsh, but I think that's a Fraser Minton problem, to be honest, because I just don't think that they feel like they can give him loads of responsibility. And when you sit a center, the wingers, they suffer, right? If you double shifted Austin Matthews, I suppose you can just, you know, sit Fraser Minton on the bench and get a lot of time from Matthew Knies, but that just is not really how it works. So I feel like there are a couple guys who are self-inflicted. I mean, Max Domi's not had a good start and he's suffered for that on his own accord.
Sure.
But I do think those who are, you know, circling the Fraser Minton orbit because he's not been able to prove himself as like, hey, we can put you out there whenever you want because you're not a teenager, which he is. So that's the issue, right? Like he's probably not ready for this, and they're going to have to make a move to change that, whether it's just bringing up Pontus Holberg or not. But if a guy is not trusted at all times and in situations, it doesn't hurt just him. It hurts others. And
it's a ripple effect.
Matthew Knies right now, exactly, is the guy who's kind of suffering from his placement. We do know that he's been promoted and he's going to play with John Tavares and William Nylander at times here in the short term. Mm-hmm. But I think that's an issue with just being a slightly incomplete team and not having that third line center that they can just immediately bank on right now.
Any sort of targets then that, I mean, we're really early in the season right now, but you know, if there were any players that, you know, could make themselves available later on down as the trade deadline does approach, is there anyone that, you know, if you're Leafs management that you'd have your eye on to be able to
real early. I wouldn't have those names. You'd have to sort out like what's happening league wide as well. I guess internally is the option you'd look at first, and that would be David Kampf, right? I mentioned Pontus Holmberg, but those two guys are kind of hard to separate. David Kampf would be the more reliable defensive guy, but they are kind of cut from the same cloth. So I think David Kampf can give you more, but is that kind of the Kyle Dubas thing where it's just like, yeah, we can play on the third line and we can make sure that bad things don't happen, but are good things going to happen? Are we going to have guys like Matthew Knies in positions to score if he's playing with a guy like David Kampf? Like, I'm not sure if that's the case. So I think internally it'll be looked at. You could try Max Domi. You could try William Nylander. And then after that, once you exhaust it, and I think they will exhaust it, you're going to have to look externally. And right now it's pretty clear what they need. It's a third line center. And it's a left shot defenseman to play with John Klingberg in my eyes.
Yep, absolutely. Justin Cuthbert from Sportsnet and Fan 590. Let's talk big picture here for the Leafs. I mean, their point total was set at 105. What are you thinking later on down the line? How do you see the team kind of shaping up this year and across the Atlantic?
Well, I think it's division title or bust, right? Like they haven't won an Atlantic title. They've won, a fake division title in the North Division. But other than that, they haven't been able to win a division in quite some time. And we do know the benefit of that is that you do not play a team that you might be moving in lockstep with for the bulk of the season. There's a big difference between third in the Atlantic or second in the Atlantic and a team that is filling into the wild card position. Maybe that's a hot team, but in all likelihood, it's a team that doesn't carry the same standard as the one that's going to get through on merit in the Atlantic Division. So I think that should be priority one, is finally getting that division title against the likes of Boston and Tampa Bay, because it'll be worth it in the end to play an inferior side. I know the Boston Bruins were upset after a historical season, but that shouldn't deter you from trying to win a division. So I don't know if it's above 105 points. I expect it should be. But with Boston losing their centers, and namely Patrice Bergeron, with Tampa still dealing with an erosion of talent and getting worse,
the door's open.
The door is open to win that division title. I think that should be the expectation. And frankly, if they don't, it would be a disappointment across 82 games for me.
I mean, yeah, I absolutely agree. It is definitely division or bust. And I mean, we are hopeful Leaf fans, and I took the over on the points. So, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about when it comes to this team. We're just gonna have to wait and see how it all shakes up. But one more time, Justin Cuthbert from Sportsnet and Fan 590. Thanks so much for jumping on. We're gonna have you back on again, brother.
No problem. Let me know when you need me. Appreciate it, boys.
Cheers. Welcome back, beautiful people. That was Justin Cuthbert from Sportsnet. Great to have him on. Really looking forward to having him back on the show, talking lots more puck and other sports as well. That about does it. That's our show. What do you think, Jess?
Pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. I think that's good. Let's just wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I think we're forgetting something.
What is that?
Right. We made the announcement.
What do we usually do at this time?
This is where we do DB2 Bets, now brought to you by the boys over
Bodog.
Click the link that you see in the comments, QR code, what have you, to use that 100% sign-up bonus. That is a DB2 special to you guys.
For all the Bodogs.
For all the Bodogs. out there. We got a couple picks. We got to do a couple inaugural picks with our Bodog segment now. So we're going to go over. I'm sorry. I could not help myself. I mean, it's just the way it is. I'm doing it. I'm sorry. I'm doing a damn thing. It's actually, I guess I put that in wrong, but I'm going with my Rams. Okay. I'm going with my Rams -3 on the spread. And -13, buddy, that would be a much bigger payout than -120. I'm going with the Rams at -3. I couldn't help myself. -13, two touchdowns. Hey, it could happen.
Wow.
The Steelers fucking suck, man. That one's for you, Scarborough Kez. They fucking blow chunks. They are no good. Kenny Pickett ain't it. Kenny Pickett, we're like Kenny Pick Six, am I right? Fucking suck, dude.
Pick
your butthole. Rams, look, they've been overachieving this year. They've been doing pretty good. They're playing at home against the Steelers. The Steelers can't get anything going offensively. Fuck Matt Canada. Like he is, everyone wants him gone. I can't believe they've still held on to him. I don't know what the deal is there. Rams, look, Cooper Kupp looks great. He's back to his old Cooper Kupp ways. Puka Nacua is really
Puka Nacua.
One thing that does worry me is the running game on this as well. Kyren Williams looks to be questionable, potentially doubtful. So they might have to resort to some brand new running backs. Every running back is getting injured this year. It's just been a slaughter fest when it comes to running backs trying to stay healthy. But you know, Steelers ain't good. They ain't it. It's going to be a low scoring affair. I would also go with the under on this game, but I couldn't help it. I got to pick my boys. Horns up, baby. Woo.
Can't wait to start off on the wrong foot here with her.
Oh, are you calling an L right out the gates? Having a little bit of fucking positivity. Guaranteed. All right. Look, your pick 8 much better than mine. All right. Like,
there's not much available. So
on a Friday,
what I got, you know?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Ooh. Yeah. I don't know. Like, look, this, it's the Rams. I'm going with the Rams. I'm taking them on the spread, and it's -120. Pretty good odds over on Bodog.
-13. What the hell?
Bro, man, you know what? I might just throw down a toonie on -13, like an alternate spread.
Do the alternate spread. Yeah,
I might do an alternate spread.
Why not?
I'm gonna throw down a buck or two just to see if that works out. Bird, yeah. Talk to me about your fucking brilliant pick here.
Flames money line at -145 at Bodog. Flames are playing a back-to-back, so they're playing tonight. But they got Dan Vladar in net tonight, which means the boy, Jacob Markstrom, is going to be in net tomorrow. And you were saying it yourself right before we hopped on. Guys like Nazem Kadri, they need to get going. You know, I think this is a good opportunity. against the lowly Blue Jackets. They're still in rebuild mode. They're not doing too much. I'm feeling good about this. Minus 145 on the money line.
It's funny that you bring up the Blue Jackets. I've been talking with their media coordinators and stuff like that, and they were asking me about.
Don't show them this episode then.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just like, oh yeah, sure, we'll definitely get that uptick on Columbus Blue Jackets material. So here is our segment on the Columbus Blue Jackets, us betting against them. The Calgary Flames. The Flames. I mean, they're a better team than this. Markstrom's off to. I don't know if it's Markstrom's fault or if it's the defense fault.
I think the
D's been okay.
I think it'll sort itself out, but it's been pretty mid. If I would pretty do say so myself.
A little sheef.
Oh, it's pretty sheef.
Yeah, but they're also facing the sheef meisters himself. Columbus boo-boo jackets. The poo-poo jackets.
Getting poo on your jacket, that'd be the worst.
More like a brown jacket. Yeah. Anyways, that's I like it. And we place both those picks over at Bodog. So visit Bodog again. Where is that damn QR code? Get it back up there. Boom. Visit bodog.eu. No, actually, don't do that. Click the link, right? That's what you're
saying. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't visit
our link.
Click our link to get that bonus.
Otherwise, fuck you.
Well, then you won't get that bonus. You need that bonus if you're going to create the account from there. So that's it. That's all we got for you this time, folks. Tune in next week as we're doing our NBA season preview. We're going to be covering all Raptors. We got an incredible guest coming on from the Steve Dangle Podcast Network next week as well. Plus a really big fucking announcement. So stay tuned. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Love you guys. Mwah, 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 mwah.
Let's go to the Blue Hotel. I wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality. Theme-based with special guests. The Blue Hotel Hotline. And every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.